I wanted to give you a little audio lesson on lying down in the semi-supine position that is recommended by Alexander Technique teachers. So lying down is physically just a great way to let the spine release to gravity, and even just that alone is quite remarkable. So the technique is very simple. You want to maybe Google to get a picture, semi-supine Alexander technique. There'll be lots of pictures. But the idea is that you lie on your back on a hard surface. It mustn't be a hard bed or, yoga mat is the absolute softest thing. But, you know, simple carpet or even a wooden floor is best. Then you find a book to put under your head. Now, this will depend on you. You want your head not to be pulled back. That'll mean that the book is too thin. And you don't want your chin pushed too far forward. That'll mean that the book is too fat. So you find something that works for you. What can work really well is a whole lot of thin books that you can kind of adjust as you go. So those go underneath your head. You lie down and then you put your feet on the ground so that your knees are pointing up to the ceiling. And what this does is it releases the lumbar spine. So you'll notice if you're lying flat, you know, in the kind of yoga shavasana, your lumbar spine will be arched slightly. But once you bend the knees and you have your feet planted hip width apart underneath the knees and the knees just balancing, you'll notice that you get a beautiful curve in your spine. And that is it. Set a timer for 15, 20 minutes. Even 10 minutes, but really the magic happens at 20 somehow. You know, the body takes a little bit of time to get the message, here is gravity. So if you do this and you prepare for this, maybe press pause and get that all set up. Then I've got a few suggestions of what you can do with your brain while you're doing it. Now, there's all sorts of politics around the semi-supine and Alexander technique, you know, not closing your eyes, not falling asleep. There's actually nothing better than lying in semi-supine with your eyes closed and falling asleep. You wake up 10 minutes later and you've got a whole new day. So that's definitely one option. Another option is just to lie there, have your eyes open. I did it this evening in my garden. I've got a hard patch under the nice hard straight patch under the trees, and the birds were flying. It was beautiful. There were these rain clouds, and it was a lovely way to spend 20 minutes. And I was doing it because I had a slight injury in my hip, and after the 20 minutes I was totally fine again, and the pain had moved actually into the other hip, but only very slightly, and I felt great. And this was an injury that was, you know, really making me feel like a 90-year-old man yesterday. I did twice 20 minutes today, and that seemed to have really sorted it out. So, you've got yourself into the semi-supine position. You're lying there. Now, the first thing you might notice is that it's just sore. It's really, really sore. Your back may feel really sore, and you might be like, no ways, I can't do this. If you wait that out a little bit and actually really enjoy that in the same way that you'd enjoy a kind of deep massage, because that's kind of what it is. Your muscles have been holding in a certain way, your spine has been distorting itself, and now suddenly it's in its most relaxed position, pulled down by gravity, and those muscles are still holding and grabbing. So you want to just let them do that for a little while. There'll be pain, you know, discomfort depending. But after about 5 minutes, you'll notice that it really eases and you'll start getting a lot of a rush of blood and kind of a warmth in the spine. So really do try to enjoy that initial discomfort. You know, think of it as a wonderful stretch, but it's completely passive. So the next thing you want to do is we want to experiment with activating the body. So we activate the body always with thought. That's the only way we can move. We think and we do something. Something happens, right? And there's instinct as well. Like, oh, ball's coming. So you can think about things like, well, playing a guitar. Imagine yourself playing a piece of music. Imagine yourself picking up the guitar out of the case, even sitting down with it, playing a chord. Get really into the imagination of this, but be aware that your body is not having to do that at all. And by the way, I should have mentioned that you can put your hands, one on your belly and one on your sternum. So, and your elbows resting on the floor. That's one way. Or you can have them down on the floor. It doesn't matter too much. I quite like them. And the traditional Alexander way is to have them, you know, belly and sternum, one next to the other, palms facing down. So you use this activating thought. Another activating thought could be getting up. Imagine yourself finishing this exercise and standing up. But you're not doing it. You're still lying down. You could also imagine yourself at the steering wheel of a car. Your hands are on the steering wheel. You're driving. You can see the road in front of you. You're turning a corner. You're changing gears if you're in a car with gears. But you're not doing that. You're still lying on the floor. Now, I don't know if you feel any sensations when you do these activating thoughts. See what you feel. You may feel a kind of popping feelings, little twitchings of muscles. Things may happen, or you may feel nothing. It doesn't matter. Another one is imagine yourself in front of the computer keyboard. Imagine yourself typing. Now, whichever one you get the strongest response to gives you an idea of kind of where you're misusing yourself most. You know, if there's a real twitching response or a sense of release, because now you're at that computer keyboard, you're typing away. But no, you're not. You're lying on the floor. Your hands are resting on your torso somewhere. Elbows are touching the ground. Soles of your feet are on the ground. Your knees are above the feet, pointing up towards the ceiling. So these activating thoughts, and then the memory of, I'm not actually doing this. I'm actually lying on the ground. This is the beginning of what Alexander called inhibition. So a real inhibition is to say, I am not doing this. To say no to a stimulus. So the stimulus of playing guitar. No, I'm not playing guitar. So as you lie there, you just think to yourself, I'm not playing guitar. And you can think it a few times, just let it sort of echo through you. There's nothing you need to do about that. You just think, I'm not playing guitar. And you think it again, I'm not playing guitar. Again, see if you feel any responses. See if your body makes any movements. What I often feel is a kind of release, especially with activities that my body may still think it's doing. Guitar is a big one, computers is a big one, and driving the car. You know, we walk out of the car, we don't 100% walk away from the car, we carry it with us. Same with the guitar, we hold it all day. And just being in contact with the ground, your spine is in its natural curve, gravity has taken over your body. And then reminding yourself, I'm not playing guitar, can have a wonderful effect where the muscles that were ready to play, that were thinking about playing, that had not stopped playing, can actually just let go. And you will feel it in the strangest of places. You may feel like a shoulder gives a little twitch, or there might be a little bubbly kind of popping movement in one of your hips, or you may feel nothing. That's also fine. I'm not driving a car. I'm not getting up from this lying down position. I'm not standing up. I'm not walking. I'm not trying to relax. I'm not trying to let go. I'm not trying to let gravity take hold of my body. Nope, not even that. I'm not at the computer. I'm not typing. And I'm not checking my phone. I'm not typing a message on my phone, and I'm not peering into a phone screen. This is inhibition. So all we're doing is we're giving the body a mental stimulus that would normally result in some kind of preparatory muscle tension. I'm going to play guitar now. The muscles start to tighten and they get ready to play guitar, like a cricketer or a baseball player with the bat. The ball's coming and they tense themselves getting ready, you know, not the greats, but maybe you and I. We start tensing ourselves, the ball's getting ready, the shoulders go up, the back of the head goes down, and we're suddenly not in a position of mechanical advantage. But we're still lying on the ground. The back is in its natural curvature. Gravity has hold of us and we're not doing anything. So we give ourselves the mental stimulus, whatever that mental stimulus was. But the very reality of lying down inhibits that stimulus. Then we add a further inhibition by actually saying, no, I'm not playing guitar. No, I'm not at the computer keyboard. No, I'm not driving a car. No, I'm not standing up. The next stage in Alexander's technique is a tricky one, and you have to approach it with a little bit of playfulness, and it might require that you really establish the inhibition part. I think you can keep yourself busy with inhibition for a very, very long time with wonderful benefits, but the next stage in Alexander technique is to give a direction, a positive direction, a new direction. And the directions that Alexander gave were around getting to a point of postural advantage, mechanical advantage. He called it positions of mechanical advantage. In other words, if we were to play the guitar, or if we were to be facing a ball with a bat, or if we were to be driving a car, or whatever it is that we were doing, what would be the best position of rest and readiness so that when that ball comes, when that guitar comes, when whatever happens, we are ready to respond in the most appropriate way. In other words, we're open because we don't know what's going to happen. So the first direction we've inhibited, we're doing nothing. We're not doing any of those things we've mentioned. We're lying on the ground. We're not even moving. And there's nothing we have to do except think. And instead of thinking habitually, oh, there's my guitar, let me play it. Oh, I really should be working. All those things. No, we're not playing guitar. We're not working. The first thought we could try having is let my neck be free. This is the classic first Alexander direction. Let my neck be free. Now, it's a tricky one. If you haven't absorbed the idea of inhibition, it's a very tricky thing to think something and not try to do it, not try to create some sensation of heaviness in your neck or wriggle a bit so that your neck can be free, but really just to understand that you can think a thought and do absolutely nothing about it. not even go and feel in your neck to see if it's released itself. You just give a call over to the guy who's running the sails on the ship and you say, hey, you do this, that's it. And then you go back to your cognac in your cabin. Let my neck be free. But I'm not going to do anything. So you go back to inhibition. I'm not going to move my neck. I'm not going to relax my neck. But I'm thinking, let my neck be free. And the wonderful thing is that when your neck is free, your head moves forward and up. Forward from the eyes, up. Well, now because we're looking up at the ceiling, forward is up to the ceiling. And up is behind us, the crown of the head. You can't make this movement. It's not something you can physically do. It comes as a result of the neck being free. Because your neck is being supported by this book, and as it releases, there's going to be a sense of forward motion and upward motion in the sense of the body's directions. If we were standing, the forward motion would come because the front of the head, and by front I mean everything in front of the ears, is actually heavier than the back of the head. And when we realize this, and when we let the neck be free, we stop holding that weight. There's a postural reflex that sends the back of the head up. So the front of the head has a weight going forward. And the postural reflex responds by lengthening. So we let the neck be free so that the head can move forward and up. And an amazing thing happens when the head moves forward and up because of the neck being free. The back actually lengthens and widens. You can't lengthen and widen your back because anything you do, you will do with contracting muscles. There's nothing you can do about lengthening or widening your back. So you are not lengthening or widening your back. You just let your neck be free so that your head could move forward and up. And then your back lengthened and widened. So go back to inhibition. You're not doing anything. You're not moving your neck. You're not relaxing your neck. You're not letting yourself go. You're not extending yourself. You're not trying to relax. And you're certainly not getting up, standing, walking, holding a guitar, driving a car, using a computer. You're not doing any of these things. And that is what we do in semi-supine. We lie down. We enjoy that delicious feeling of the muscles fighting against gravity. Almost painful, can be painful. And just waiting can be suffocating even. Can really feel like the rib cage is just, especially if you've had a long, hard day. It's this marvelous feeling. And then eventually, 5 minutes in, it's gone. Might happen gradually or fast. Then have a few activating thoughts. What would happen if I was standing up now? Just get up, walk across the room, imagine it in your mind's eye, because when you imagine something, all the neurons of your habits fire. But the wonderful thing is that they fire in their normal habitual way, but they're thwarted by the fact that you're physically doing nothing. Then you go to full inhibition. I am not walking. What does that feel like? I'm not walking. I'm not holding a guitar. I'm not at a computer screen. And I'm not trying to relax. And this process we're talking about is like falling asleep. You can't fall asleep. There's nothing you can do to fall asleep. The last thing you want to do is lie in bed thinking, I need to fall asleep. No, it doesn't work. The only thing you can do is to lie in bed if you have trouble falling asleep and remind yourself that you're not going to sleep, because whatever you were doing to try and fall asleep is exactly the opposite, otherwise you'd be asleep. Same with relaxing. When you tell yourself, oh, I really should relax, oh, I'm relaxing now, and you're not, that's because whatever you're doing, in the case of relaxing and falling asleep, anything that you're doing, because they are not things that you do, they're things that are done to you, that happen to you. So I don't need to fall asleep. I don't need to relax. I don't need to lie down. I don't need to get up. There is nothing that I need to do. And then if you're feeling brave and adventurous, the directions, which are really one thing. Remembering that it's possible for your neck to be free, to have space. And when that happens, the head moves forward and up and the back lengthens and widens. And actually what even happens is the knees move forward and away. In other words, up to the ceiling, but there's nothing that you can do. You're not going to twiddle your neck muscles to make them feel heavier so that they feel like they're relaxing. You're not going to tweak your back muscles to make them extend. You're not going to do anything. There's nothing you can do. You're just lying on your back. There's no fuss that you need to be made of it, needs to be made of it. Now, all the thinking can be useful for examining your relation to thinking when you're actually in activity. But the lying down is most important, and there's nothing you need to do. You have gravity, you have your body, that's it. But the activating thoughts, you'll find a deeper release. The inhibitions, you'll find an even deeper release. And the directions, even deeper into the widening. And that is 20 odd minutes of semi-supine. And the thinking process is exactly the thinking process that we would use when playing guitar, learning something, memorizing something. So now you can just roll over onto your side, get yourself up, and see when you're standing, how do you feel? Have a great day. Remember, there's nothing that you can really do about it.